Well, good Saturday afternoon, everyone. Hope you're having a great day. This is Let's Get Legal. I'm John Hansen. All this powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, and it is 4:10. So excited to talk to Nora Devine about how we can save a little bit on property taxes. Commercial folks, too, perk your ears up because this is going to help you. Thanks for coming on here today, Nora.
Oh, thanks for having me. The studio is beautiful. I love the ISBA, and I love WGN.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I did a lot of work here in the studio to make it clean and perfect here for you. You know, we got these incredible views, and the boats are busy here this afternoon, but you know, a lot of people love to. I'm sure in every state, everyone complains about taxes. It's just part of life. And when I hear people complain about real estate taxes in Illinois, I always say, yeah, they seem high to me, but what do I know? How are they compared to other states in the country?
They say that only New Jersey is higher than Illinois, and they measure that in terms of how many tax dollars are you paying compared to the value of your home. So, you know, and there's a reason for it, and the reason is Illinois is overly dependent on the property tax in order to fund the schools. So other states find different ways to fund their schools. They fund it in a more central fashion, and in Illinois, the residents have enjoyed and will probably always continue to enjoy, because they do enjoy it, having very local control over the money that is raised locally, levied locally, and distributed locally. There's not a lot of hope that they would send the money to Springfield and get back sufficient amounts to in order to fund the school in the way that they are accustomed to having it funded.
So it's a double-edged sword in many ways.
So that's why task force after task force is convened, and they walk away with some suggestions that structurally can't be implemented. And here we go again with just values going up, tax rates going up, and therefore tax bills going up.
Obviously, it varies by municipality and county, but when you say it's second most in the country, is it pretty distributed among the state, or is it just centralized to the Cook County and the Collar counties, or is it there's pockets all over the state with high taxes?
So in Chicago, I think maybe half of the budget for the schools is funded through the local property tax, and the rest is funded through the state funding formula, which is centralized. And then in the other jurisdictions, you know, Collar counties and downstate, the number can be more like 90% is funded locally.
Wow.
So that's why, you know, downstate folks find it, you know, the area of Chicago in general and Cook County in general to be an unpopular demographic in their mind, because they view, you know, that there's more of this centralized money going to this jurisdiction where you and I are sitting today versus what they're getting from the central state funding formula.
Right. I know a lot of people listening will say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. And I think it's because it's like out of sight, out of mind, right? Like it's because you're not often writing the check. I know in Chicago when I owned, it was just kind of taken out. I get the bill in the mail every now and then, and I would just be like, all right, well, that's what it is. That's a mistake, right?
Well, you should always have it analyzed. There's plenty of competent firms out there, including mine, that would be happy to give you some free advice. And if you're in good shape, then someone will tell you you're in good shape, and you may even walk away with a little bit of research on the sales or the comparable properties in the neighborhood so that you can feel like, okay, I'm not totally out of line. I understand where this assessment's coming from. But if you're one of the many people who has some kind of an inaccuracy in their property record card, or who is paying more on a per square foot basis than their neighbors for a similar house, or if you just have a value that the assessors put on your property that isn't in line with reality in terms of what you could sell your house for, then that's when you need somebody who can navigate the process for you or tell you how to navigate the process yourself if you so choose. And then, you know, there's a lot of due process available in the Illinois property tax system, and that's unique. Other states, if you don't like your tax burdens, you know, it's kind of so what? There's nothing you can do. In Illinois, that's not true. There's four different levels of appeal. You talk to the assessor, then you can go to the Board of Review, and then you can either go to the Property Tax Appeal Board or you can go to Circuit Court. And in other states, there's sort of nowhere to go. You can kind of ask the assessor, and if you don't see eye to eye with the assessor, then, you know, too bad for you, unless there's a lot of property tax at issue. There's kind of nowhere to go. So in Illinois, it is frustrating that you feel like you do need somebody to look at it for you and advocate for you so often. But at least the due process is there. You have an area, you know, an opportunity to show up and be heard and have somebody give you an independent review of the value.
Hey, we did something right in Illinois. You at least can be heard. Huzzah. No, so, you know, the Devine Law Group, you do great work. Do you want people to come to you with some research already done? Because, like, I don't even know where I'd start. I'd, like, go to Zillow and be like, how much? But, like, I don't know if the information's accurate there. Can someone just go to you and say, I don't know what to do?
I think, you know, the best thing to do is just All we have on our website is the only required fields on our intake form is what county are you in and what's your PIN number and what's your email address. And based on those three data points, we can turn around an analysis and let you know you're in good shape or you know what, you may consider taking these steps. This is kind of the opportunity that we see. And after dealing with so many thousands of properties over the last 17 years, I have a pretty good idea of what can be done and can't be done. And so people say, what's your success rate? And well, of course, it's high because as a lawyer, we're not allowed to file cases that lack merit. So obviously, if I'm only filing cases that have merit, then you can understand how 97 to 99% of the time, I am eventually getting some kind of relief for everybody, you know, at some point in the appeal process.
Because you believe in it.
And sometimes I'm a true believer. There are a lot of people that say, I don't do homes. You know, I don't do cheap homes or...
Oh, like it's too small for them or something.
Yeah, too small for me. And I don't represent people outside of Cook County. And it's really causing this geographic bias against anybody outside of Cook County because it's more difficult for them to find somebody that will just give them some advice.
We have listeners, obviously, all over the state. How many counties will you take from in Illinois?
Well, there's 102 counties in the state of Illinois. I've never said to somebody, I won't analyze your property because
really?
I don't go to that county. I will go to any county. And, you know, even on the smaller value assets, if somebody's overassessed, they're entitled to advice, legal advice, and attorneys have to do that work.
Wait, really?
Yes.
That's codified.
No, it's my own personal code of ethics because...
That's the divine intervention. There
you go. That's right. I've done a lot of work with the unlicensed practice of law, and what happens when attorneys say, oh, this is not what I want to do, and it's too small, and it's not worth it, and I don't want to look at it. Well, then, non-attorneys start getting into the picture and trying to do the work, and then it can have catastrophic consequences because there are real property rights at stake in these appeals. The property tax code is enormous, and it's changing all the time. There's like more than 100 efforts to change the property tax code in any given year. And unless you're plugged in with somebody who's plugged in with the Illinois State Bar Association and following that legislation as closely as the people in that section do, then, the truth is you don't know what you don't know. And you're not helping anybody if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. That would be me looking into it. So don't call me. Call Nora Devine. By the way, just in case someone's – I know we have another segment we're going to do, but I know in case someone's running out of the car, the DevineLawGroup.com is where they can go and plug in that information.
Yep.
Oh, that's pretty simple stuff. All right, Nora, stick around. We got one more segment coming up. And we're going to talk a little more about commercial properties too because this is another troubling area.
It's a hot item this year.
Hot topic coming up here on Let's Get Legal. This is Let's Get Legal powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. I'm John Hansen here as we approach 421. And we got Nora Devine in, prominent experienced property tax attorney serving not only Cook County, but as you said, all 102. I'm glad you didn't say 101 as if, Nora, there was one county that you had a bad experience in. No, you do all 102 if someone needs help. It's really hard to answer this question, but I always feel it's like people are like, well, how much could you really save me? Because there's a lot of variants out there, or variations, we should say. But it obviously just depends, but it could be sizable. And obviously, that's a relative term to each individual.
Yeah. So on the high end, I mean, I think my record at this moment is I saved $90,000 in 1 year on a house, but it was obviously an extraordinary house. So
right. It wasn't my house.
It's not probably your house or my house or any house I'll ever
live
in.
That'd be the entire value of the house, Nora. Thank you for doing it. And when you say these numbers, by the way, we should note, that's not just one time.
Right. It's usually holds for the rest of the quadrennial assessment year, and then it would usually hang on, to some degree after the assessing officials go and relook at the values in the jurisdiction. So that was kind of the record. I think the thing to think about is outside of Cook County, every year they look and they check in with how much the market has changed up or down. Lately, it's been going up, as I'm sure you know. And sometimes the increase in market is driven by a certain property class. Maybe 3 years ago, we saw a big rebound in the condo market outside of Cook County. And so it was driving this factor, this equalization factor that they would put onto every single PIN number in the entire township.
They just like slap it
yes.
on.
Yes. And so if you're a retail building owner, you don't want an 8% increase, right? Because retail is one of those industries that is really not doing well. And those prices are in decline. So you wouldn't want an 8% increase on your retail building, which is being driven by, condos that have nothing to do with the property that you own, the tenants that you have, the ability of your tenants to pay the rent, how much rent they're willing to pay. So you know, that's where getting some advice is really helpful for a commercial property owner, I would say.
Yeah. So just to, I want to put a fine point on it, because I think that people maybe when they get their tax bill, they assume, oh, it's been assessed or in a specific way, right? Like, oh, they took a picture outside my house. I think they maybe people confuse it when they refi and they get an assessment or something like that. It's not done the same way, right? Like you're saying, some of these things are like copy and pasted onto general things in a municipality.
Yeah, so from a residential perspective, the assessors, who are pretty educated and you know, they're a group of people of goodwill, and I think that they do the best they can given the property tax code that they have.
Right.
And the property tax code says that they're supposed to use a three-year median of sales. Well, a three-year median of sales may not account for an abrupt change up or down in the market. And then the next level of appeal, the Board of Review, is going to look at a much tighter timeline of sales. So it's frustrating for the assessors, because even if they do their job perfectly, as if it's a job that can be done perfectly, because
right.
it's inherently subjective and there's so many data points and it's, then, you've still got the people who are reviewing your assessment are holding your assessment to a different standard. So
mm-hmm.
that's why there's usually some kind of room, because first of all, the value is subjective in and of itself. Second of all, the different levels of appeal have different standards of review for the assessment. So what may hold up at one level of appeal may be adjusted at another level.
Right.
So, that's where, unfortunately, expertise is needed, because it's these internal guidelines that they're using on the government side can change from year to year. We've seen a lot of changes with this assessing official change in Cook County, for example. Things that used to be considered are no longer considered. Things that weren't considered before now considered. So you kind of have to be dealing with the volume in order to know from year to year what will work and what won't.
Is there a timing, like, for instance, obviously a lot of people in Cook County in Chicago, they're getting their tax bills now or soon. I mean, they're coming
soon.
Up. I know there was a delay.
Tax rates are being, figured out right now. The bills are supposed to be mailed by the end of the month. I think they have to be mailed by the end of the month, because I think they're looking at trying to have an October 1st due date.
Is there a window then of opportunity for people that closes at a certain point, or no?
No. When you see the bill, it's too late to contest the value, unfortunately, which is different than Indiana. And if you get the bill in Indiana, that's when you're supposed to start thinking about appealing the value of the property. But in Illinois, it's very different. Ever since the Great Depression, we have been paying our property taxes in arrears, because there was a property tax strike, which I feel like could happen again soon.
Wow.
And
I didn't know that was an option.
Yeah, I know, right? Neither did I.
Hey.
So, and that's, I think, why they layered in all this due process into the system, because if you make people feel heard, then they're more likely to continue, paying the tax, I guess.
Yes.
So it's frustrating for a lot of people who are investors here that have properties in other states. And it's really hard to, explain to them how multi-layered and expert, driven a lot of the values can be.
So if you were able to help someone on their future tax payments, it's not like they can say, well, good, go get me those past 10 years.
Yeah. No, I mean, almost no. I mean,
almost
99% no.
Okay.
There's some wiggle room for past years in some circumstances, but it's so far beyond the scope of what we're talking about today.
I know there's a lot of help that landlords have potentially been offered due to COVID and what's happening. We're talking about unspent billions of dollars that's supposed to be getting into landlords' pockets. What's going on with that, and can you help with something like that?
Well, that's if we're seeing, I'm listening all the time to assessing officials everywhere I find them. I'm always interested in how they're viewing certain problems in the state. And, there's 1,400 assessing officials or so, by my estimation, in the state of Illinois. So, and a lot of these are individually elected or appointed people. So they're professionals, they're educated, they're political, they have their own views, they know what's right, they know what's wrong in their own minds. And so reasonable minds do differ as to what they're supposed to do for a commercial property owner who has had some distress with their tenants during COVID. And we've seen everything from one end of the spectrum of saying, I'll take anything and everything, give me anything you have, showing that there's been some kind of adverse effect from COVID.
Right.
And I will make some kind of an adjustment, because we are doing anything and everything to just keep these businesses running for, And then the other end of the spectrum was more like, well, the valuation date is January 1st of 2020, and since COVID wasn't around until 90 days after that, we are not going to consider anything, because
it came too
late. The lien date is the lien date, and is the lien date, and we can't look at any
wow.
information that came after it. So then, of course, someone like me would be like, yeah, but surely you're going to look at it for 2021, right? And the answer in most cases has been, yes, we will probably be considering something. So, it's still, new. I don't have a crystal ball to figure out what every single person will say, because there's so many of them. But we are definitely getting a lot of new clients right now who do want us to try to approach these assessing officials and see if they can work out a fair, COVID impact sort of a reduction for 2021.
When we say commercial, that includes landlords too?
Yeah. I mean, if in DuPage, they were looking for, more than 20% of your rent to be in arrears. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, there's going to be different standards sort of in every different jurisdiction.
Can you define in arrears really quickly just for someone that
may... So it just means the tenants aren't paying.
Okay.
And, there's an eviction ban. So a lot of folks have figured out if I don't pay anything, I can save up for a down payment on a condo. And, so there's some of that going on.
Wow.
I have some personal knowledge of that from some of the landlords I represent.
Right.
So,
not everyone, of course. There's legitimate people that can't pay, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's landlords who worked with the tenant thinking, obviously, he lost his job, so I've got to work with him because, you don't want that dreaded situation where you can't get somebody out.
Right.
And then when it comes time to fill out the form.
Right.
For the relief, the tenant says, I can't fill that form out because I made more than $70,000 on, unemployment. And my wife was doing a learning pod and I still had some income from my job for part of the year.
Right.
So then the landlord's like, well, what did I cut your rent for?
Yeah. And a lot of complicating things. So, we got about a minute left. What's your elevator pitch to someone that's listening, whether it's residential or commercial? Why should they be calling you or reaching you out on the website?
Yeah, it just doesn't cost you anything to get another set of eyes on it. And if you have somebody that knows what they're doing and has the bandwidth and the capacity to actually give you some good advice, there's really no downside into asking.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. And I feel like a lot of your clients or people that are potential clients, do you feel like some people just, the check goes through, they see the bill and they say, it is what it is.
It is what it is until they, leave Illinois or, and it's, I would hate to see that. I think the state of Illinois is a great place. I think the Illinois State Bar Association makes it even better. And I'd love for, us to have a vibrant downtown and a vibrant state.
That's a great point. It is a really great point that if you can, fight your property taxes or have someone like you looking out for them and it's a little bit more fair for you, it works out for everybody.
That's right.
For sure. Nora Devine, I love the Devine. Seek Divine Intervention. And by the way, it's Devine.
Yes.
That's important for thedivinelawgroup.com. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, we'll look forward to chatting again.